Today's reading is James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In German, it's Jakobus. James 3, 1 to 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we can curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
If you were here during the month of March, you have heard sermons about wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Today the topic will be wisdom on the tongue and in connection to that of our words. And it will not be about the words you have heard in the reading from James, but will be from Proverbs. You will hear it later. Let's pray. Our Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our thoughts and hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Some years ago, a TV program had reduced its word for the day from 3 minutes down to 2.5 minutes only. And this seems to be a symptom of our days. We do not like listen to other speeches, at least not for very long. When politicians speak and at election campaigns, only a few sentences are broadcast to TV news. You have maybe heard this joke. A politician met his party friend, and the friend asked him, "How was your speech yesterday? What did you say?" And he said, he grinned and said, "Really nothing." Yeah, I know," he said, "but how did you put it in words?" More important than their words is their hairstyle, the clothes he wears, and the ones around him. Image is everything. This is the televisual age. Visual has triumphed over the verbal. A picture is worth 1,000 words. It seems that it's only the poor church that doesn't keep step with the times. But anyway, there's something we cannot compromise. It is our commitment to words. God is a speaking God. From eternity, God has spoken. And at one time in history, he spoke, and the whole universe came into being. He said, "Let there be light," and it was light. In this first chapter of the Bible, it is mentioned 9 times, and God said. And down the ages, he spoke to human beings. He spoke to Abraham and gave promises. Over the years, he spoke through the prophets. And during the last days, as the Bible calls it, he spoke through his Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Words matter. We human beings have been made in the image of God, unique. By his word, he called his creation into relationship with himself. And by words, we come into relationship with one another. Just try to make a friend without speaking. As we speak, as we listen, we grow into relationship with each other. If we diminish our words, we diminish our humanity. Now, maybe some of you may think this is contradiction to what you said in the beginning. I just want to put it right. Not the number of words make a good relationship. It is the quality of our words for good relationship. We must be committed to words. Words matter. As we study the book of Proverbs, words is the next important theme after the theme of wisdom. The writer of the book of Proverbs teaches us, if we want to make our life well, we must pay careful attention to what we say. Let's make a short survey in the teaching of this book. I want to outline 3 major points. First, understand the power of words. Second, take great care about what you say. And 3, look to God to help. Number 1, understand the power of words. A tongue is about 0.4% of the body weight, a very small instrument, but of enormous power. Only 7 centimeters long. It can kill a man of 6 feet high. In chapter 18, verse 21, the writer says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." This is a strong expression about words. The tongue has the power of life and death. It has huge impact. Think of the speech of Martin Luther King, for instance, or Adolf Hitler on the other hand, or nowadays Ahmadinejad. In German papers they call him, he's ein Maulheld, a braggart. Do you have that word, braggart? Only words, but it can have great impact on people and even on whole nations. With words we can bring encouragement. The lips of the righteous nourish many. And in chapter 12, 25, it says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." You know by your own experience, a kind word, what an encouragement can it be? Chapter 25, 12. "Like an earring of gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear." God uses this word as a method of teaching. It is precious, but it needs a listening ear. Or word of healing, chapter 15, 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. As we feel broken, circumstances are overwhelming, we are crushed down by our sins, and a friend speaks to us, it's like balsam. It soothes the wounds. We feel terribly guilty, and someone reminds us of the wonder of the grace of Christ. And words bring wisdom. 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. It is by the words of others we are pointed to the right path through life, which begins, you remember, with fearing God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We hear from Proverbs. Recognizing that he exists and submitting to him. By our words, we can point others down the path of wisdom, encouraging other Christians to keep on going. Or urging those who are not Christians to turn their lives around and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe someone of you are in that category today. A friend may have encouraged you to come here. You are very fortunate to have such a friend. Maybe you feel insignificant, just a tiny part in the large machine, at work or in college, no matter how small you feel. God has given us a powerful weapon, the tongue. And we can use it for great good in our families, in our friendship groups, at work, in our neighborhood, wherever we go in the world, for great good. But it is also that it has a potential of great evil. We can damage individuals with our words, reckless words. 12 verse 18, you have all the verses on the back of the song sheet. Reckless words pierce like a sword. We hear kids in the playground. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. We tell them to say it, but deep down we know it's not true. Sometimes bullying is not physical, but verbal damage. If you stab someone with a knife and take it out, it hurts for a moment, but it can heal quickly. But when you say a word, it's a deep wound, and it takes long, long time to heal. So a word is quickly said, but it can do its damage for decades. Just an example from my own experience. Achim and his sister stayed with us in our boarding house in Nairobi for 2 years about. And Achim, about the age of 13, he often said when something went wrong, "Oh, I'm too stupid." And you could feel that he had pain when he said that. And then when he said it again and again, one day I grabbed him and I said, "Achim, listen, I don't want to hear that word anymore because it's not true. You are not stupid." And later we learned why he said that. His former teacher, an old army officer in his former school, he often said this to him, "Oh, you are too stupid." And this went deep, deep down. That took for him for a while to get his self-confidence again. Damage to relationships, 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a fire dies down. If I would only keep my mouth shut, that difficult situation would cool down. But I just couldn't resist adding more fuel on this dispute, and it flares up again, repeating some accusations from years ago. Damage to relationship. and damage to communities as well. 11:11. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Truthful words build up a community, but we all are dragged down if the public discourse, die öffentlichen Reden, is allowed to be taken by trivial talks or even lies. We have to understand the power of words, the power for good, the power for evil. And as we understood this, it leads us to the next point. Take great care about what you say. The word is so powerful. Do not say it lightly. 13, verse 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. So don't blurt out what comes onto your head. Wir sollen es nicht einfach hinausposaunen. Handle your lips and your tongue, your mouth, with great care about what you say, how you say it, when you say it. The major theme is to make sure that we always speak the truth. 12:22 is one of the number of verses that say it. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Well, this application goes way beyond the courtroom. How often do we lie or tell half a truth? Or we allow wrong impressions just to remain and do not correct that wrong impression. And as a result of our deceit, unsere Täuschungen, they value us too highly, we take the credit of something we are not responsible for, suspicion hangs over others for things that we are responsible for. But we don't say it. Actually, that was me. And so justice does not prevail. Gerechtigkeit gewinnt nicht. But God says, tell the truth, whatever the cost to you. And on the long run, the changes are, we will not suffer, but we will win a friend. In 16:13, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Lies are deadly in relationships. Intimacy is broken or damaged. Why should I open to somebody I don't trust? But those who tell the truth will gain respect of all, even of kings. If I tell the truth, I'll do good to others. 24:26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. And that's true, even when it hurts. 28:23. He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. It is not loving to be flattering all the time. Jemandem zu schmeicheln, in German we say, jemandem dauernd Honig ums Maul schmieren. But not to say a word of truth when I know I should would also be wrong. I remember a book I read about 50 years ago. The South African writer Alan Paton wrote a book, the title was But I Didn't Say the Word. And he tells about a lady who had good relationship to her nephew, a young man. And the nephew came often and shared from his life, and they chatted and so and so. And the young man was involved in a gang somehow, and she knew his way with these people is always downwards, downwards and dangerous. And then she said to herself, I have to tell him, I have to warn him. Next time he came again, and they chatted, they shared, and so, and then he went, goodbye. She said, next time I tell him. But there was no next time. He was killed in a gang fight. I didn't say the word. Now, to avoid gossip. 18:8. The words of gossip are like a choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost part. First, when I read this, I could not understand the English sentence. Choice morsels, I didn't understand. But I checked. And it says, es sind Leckerbissen. Und Gossip, Klatsch und Geschwätz, das geht uns runter wie Öl. It doesn't matter whether the words are strictly true. We don't check it out. The more it shows a person in a bad light, the more we enjoy it. But it affects our opinion on other person. It changes her reputation. And wisdom says, don't do it. Don't get involved in that. Be very careful what you say. 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When I am provoked by harsh words and hateful words, I will not respond in calm. If someone is harsh to me, I respond harsh. And I may win an argument, but I will lose a friend. If I am patient and show respect, if I do all I can do to maintain good relationship with that, for instance, annoying neighbor who plays loud music at night, you know how these things go. But if I present my case carefully, the result can be different. A gentle tongue can break a bone. 25:1. And often it's best to keep quiet at all. 17:28. Even a fool is though wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. I know sometimes it could be tough. We might not be ready. But sometimes God uses hard times to mature us and train us and discipline us. Are you ready for it? Words spoken at the right time. I don't know how you feel after the survey in this book of Proverbs. James says, we heard it in the reading, if anyone is never faulty in what he says, he is a perfect man. And I do not see a perfect man in front of me or a perfect woman. And I am certainly not a perfect man. We keep on saying wrong things, but we don't have so much a tongue problem. It's a heart problem. The Lord Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know this is true. Mouth and tongue are only tools of the heart. If a river is polluted, and at the source, it will be polluted all along the river. In his letter to Romans, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 3, we have all turned away from God. Our hearts are anti-God. Their thoughts are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Because of our hearts are turned from God, our mouths are full are for things that are not true and are not edifying. Deshalb kommen Dinge aus unserem Mund, die nicht aufbauen. The Bible is not a self-help book. I give you a few tips and then you will be okay. The Bible says you have a profound problem. Ihr habt ein tiefliegendes Problem. Your hearts are turned from God and you cannot solve it yourself. But God, in his great love, has committed to solve it for you. Our hearts can be changed by Jesus. In him, God has come close to us. God is still speaking. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At Christ's transfiguration, the disciples heard a word from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. But how often are we far from listening to him? We don't want him to change our lives. We love our independence. Instead of listening to him, the people shouted, "Crucify him!" They nailed him to a cross. He was surrounded by a cheering crowd, laughing, but he hardly said a word. Just as Isaiah prophesied, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He faced the treatment that you and I deserve. Somehow there was a separation in our relationship with God the Father and God the Son. Therefore he died on the cross and rose again. Although we rejected him on earth, he is still speaking. There is the commission to the apostles. Go and take this message to the end of the earth. Until today, his voice is still heard as the gospel is proclaimed. It is a voice of love, as he says, "Come." God speaks that we might enter the relationship with him. Have you responded? Some of you have been coming to church for a while, have been in discussion groups, encouraged by a friend to think of Christ, but you have never responded. Please, before you leave, listen and obey the voice of Jesus. And those of us who have listened, God has changed our hearts. Through his word and by his spirit, you have been born again, says Peter. On the day of Pentecost, tongues of flames came down and settled off all God's people, and they spoke in other languages, words that others could understand. They proclaimed the praise and the glory of God. By nature, our words would always exalt ourselves and cracking down others. It is only by God's Spirit that he changes our hearts, that our words would exalt the Lord Jesus and build up others. Now may God open our eyes and our minds to understand the grace of God revealed in the Lord Jesus to us, and then open our tongues to proclaim it. Let's pray. Lord, please forgive us our words. So often we magnify ourselves and knocking others down. We pray. You would change our hearts by your Spirit, that we might use our words to proclaim the wonders of your grace and to be of service to others. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.